You are cordially invited to the Bhakti Bliss Festival, May the 20th to May the 23rd next year in Schwabenalp, located above Brinz Lake. And there you can immerse yourselves in a blissful experience by exploring or diving deeper into various Eastern and Western holistic healing modalities for body, mind and soul. Bhakti Bliss Festival brings together the power of silence, meditation, yoga, music, dance, healing, community, a lot of fun, and other mindful and focused activities. So there it is. An event that seems very much to reflect the popular idea, the prevailing perception, that somehow people are definitely spiritual, if not necessarily religious. Champions of that view point to the signs all around of nascent spirituality. Bookshops, with shelves loaded with a catalogue of books on the subject. New age resources available all around, crystals and auras, therapies various. Festivals and retreats, wicker men, winter solstices and fire festivals. And yes, in the United Kingdom, you can even register as a Druid or a Jedi warrior when the next census comes around. Something is going on inside people's heads, inside their souls, it is alleged. But whatever it is, religion in general, and formal religion in particular, and organised religion most of all, seem to miss the mark. Folk are very happy to be spiritual, but they are reluctant to be religious. You see, they say, religion causes passion and conflict, let the history books show. Religion is about taking up positions, being dogmatic and evangelical, aggressively wanting to win the belief argument. Religion is about ramming what you believe down other people's throats. Religion is bad. And so-called organised religion is worse, with its dodgy priests, its middle-class clergy, its funny outfits and holy voices, its zealots and its Bible bashers. Religion is ridiculously formal in an age of informality, bureaucratic in an age that wants to be free of constraints. Religion is all the things we don't want and none of the things we do, they say. Whereas, they say, spirituality is personal, soft-centred, with rounded edges, private. And that private inner journey is bolstered by tools to encourage the pilgrims, signs and symbols, actions and movements, little disciplines of the spirit, nothing too in-your-face or demanding, in its place, of its time. It's not evangelical, out to win converts, it's just there as a helpful resource. No proselytising required, much less encouraged. You can have it if you want, but listen, no pressure and no structures. Save us from structures, they say, buildings, rituals, hierarchies, professional clergy wreaking their havocs, various. Far better just let every man find his own way through the existential thicket. Every woman find her own way in through the gateway of the soul. And in vivid and liberating contrast to the blood-curdling record of religion, the effect of spirituality is a gentle sensitivity towards the world and its fragile beauty and integrity, a worth placed on each individual in their uniqueness, and you might say sacredness. A tenderness towards the created order that makes the nature-ravaging depredations of intrusive missionaries and venal mill owners seem ugly and harsh by comparison. Remember, the same folk who built the churches built the mines and the factories and the workhouses. So what's that all about? Where's the consistency there, they say? No, give us spirituality, soft, cuddly, caring. Nothing wrong with that, you would think. No harm done there. So how does spirituality become religion? As the story shows, it has tended so to do. And what are the gains and the losses? The change happens, the evolution takes place, because life is complex. Life is complex, and anyone who thinks it isn't is not being realistic. There are, in thinking and philosophy and interpretations of reality, different aspects, different emphases. And the idea of there being simply one world view that everyone will buy into is naive in the extreme. People are going to see things differently. That's how it is, inevitably. Spirituality also evolves into religion when an authority figure enters the frame. A teacher, a guru, an inspirational leader. Ideas cluster around that individual, loyalties are born, and followers become disciples, become acolytes, become evangelists, become persuaders, and sometimes persuaders become oppressors. Add to that flammable situation writings, sacred texts that crystallise the teachings or the philosophy of the religious leader, and a door swings wide open for dispute over this or that saying and what it means, this teaching or that and what it's really about. And suddenly there is the possibility of heresy and orthodoxy, debate and dispute. And let history once again demonstrate that whether you're a Christian, a Muslim, a Hindu, a Marxist, a Buddhist, a Jew, a Republican, there are differences of interpretation. There are sects and spin-offs, schisms and controversies, various. And no one should be surprised by that. This is how it works with people and ideas. There is no one-size-fits-all, and so all debate is ended, thought form. Not unless you live in North Korea or Taliban-held Afghanistan. Uniformity does not sit well with the world of ideas, not in the real world of people. And then as people who espouse one view or another get together and they grow in numbers, it becomes clear that they will not be able to fit into someone's front room anymore. And before you know it, they have a building for worship, a place to call their spiritual home. And within that and around that, gather the faithful, the congregations of the faithful, to do their thing in their way and to draw others into the experience in community, solidarity and strength. And the rest is history, our uncomfortable and sometimes bloody history. That said, perhaps we can begin to see that organised religion is probably still better than disorganised religion. For where there is organised religion, there is identity, responsibility, accountability, definition and debate. Now, you might think it would be better if we all just sat on a mat, clutched our crystal and muttered our mantra. But it's not so simple. Life is not so simple. John the Baptist was clearly less than enamoured with organised religion. He took himself off to the wild places, far from towering temples. He dressed in a way that made a statement. Listen, I want none of your robes and ceremonial, your outward expressions of power and officialdom. He was anti-establishment in the most radical and reforming way, for he had seen what can happen when you take your eye off the main thing and let the itsy-bitsy bits become too significant. The rules and rituals, the forms of religion, become an unhealthy substitute for matters of the heart, which is where it all happens or doesn't. Who cares what you wear? What point or purpose your pomp or ceremony? Is your heart right with God? For if it is, then you will want his rule, his kingdom. You will be looking for his king to come, inaugurating a new kind of religious expression of heart and spirit and reality. And if you want that, you have to understand, he says, that religion is not a game, a hobby, a pastime. Religion is not an external show of piety, but an inner truth that takes up residence in your soul so that it matters, it counts, it makes a difference. Indeed, it is the difference. Now, if you want that kind of real religion, that sort of spirituality, John says, someone is coming who will give it to you when you give yourself to him. And there will be no disjunction, no contradiction between your religion and your spiritual life. For at the heart of both will be the one who comes to give life, bring life. John asks the big question. The only question is, do you want him in your story? Because if you do, apathy is not an option. Being casual has no place in discipleship. There will be gospels to preach and crosses to carry, And he will ask you to seek first the kingdom of God. So this is serious. This is the most serious thing you can get around to thinking about in this waiting time. For he is coming. And when he comes, he will call you to follow him. Every single one of you. He will call you to follow him, and you will have to decide. And what you decide, says John, will determine who you will become. John the hippie with the funky diet is not messing about. He means it. It matters. It matters more than any other decision you will make. Follow, don't follow. John the Baptist says, you choose. And we all do. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.